Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. And men, happy Father's Day. It is our day today. And, I was listening to Dave tell you about the different food that was out there for you. And I love that chemical cheese. You know the stuff I'm talking about that they put on nachos and stuff? I am hoping beyond hope that when I get to heaven, the Lord will have like a river of that cheese flowing through heaven. It's amazing. Well, you know, I've seen so many of you fathers for so many years. I've seen your kids grow up around you, and you guys are doing an amazing job as fathers. And it's just really cool to see. You know, in a day that doesn't necessarily honor dads, you guys are awesome. And I've seen some of you grandfathers with your grandchildren, and you guys just do an amazing job. And it's a blessing to me, and I know it blesses the Lord for sure. You know, when I think of Father's Day, I think of my own dad. And back in March of 1965, he was stationed in Germany overseas in the armed forces, serving in the army. And he requested a leave of absence so he could fly back to the United States. And that wasn't easy to pull off back then, but he got it because my mom was pregnant with me. And so as my dad was traveling to the U.S. and breaking speed records to get from the base to Hoag Hospital to see me born, I was actually born on his birthday. And so it was really cool. My dad and I have shared the same birthday now for 56 years. And, you know, it was interesting because wherever I was on planet Earth, my dad would come and spend our birthday together. And it was really, to this day, we've done it, this year was 56. And, you know, the interesting thing that my father taught me about fathering was he said, quality time is overrated. He said, son, it's all about quantity time. He said, because when you do the quantity part of it, quality follows. He says it's inevitable, but first you have to have quantity. And so that's always just really blessed me because he's lived that. I mean, it wasn't easy either. I mean, I played baseball. And so whatever city I was in, he was there. And it's like, wow. That's commitment, right? That's commitment from a father to a son. Well, I'm also reminded today that I am a dad. And some of you have seen my kids grow up in our church, but it's been a while because as they've gotten older and bigger, you probably wouldn't even recognize them. But I have a son, our firstborn. His name is Garrett. He's 27 years old, and he's a fireman in Huntington Beach. And then I have a daughter, her name is Alexis, we call her Lexi. She is 25 years old and she's a teacher in Phoenix, Arizona. And then my youngest son, his name is Hayden, he's 23 years old and he is a senior at Mississippi State University. And then during the pandemic last year, we added a new daughter, Garrett got married. So we have Jillian, who is married to Garrett, and she is 27. She, by far, is the smartest person in our family, by the way. She's amazing. She was a rocket scientist at SpaceX, and now she was hired as an IT person at USC, and we love her to death. She's a wonderful addition to our family. And my wife, Elisa, who many of you know, she and I celebrated our 32nd wedding anniversary this year. So that was fun as well. Well, if you brought your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And as you're turning there, I'll give you a little bit of a background. In Proverbs, we know that King Solomon, who was considered to be, by God, the wisest man who's ever lived, he wrote these Proverbs. And these Proverbs are a collection of wisdom. This particular proverb, this particular chapter, Solomon was writing to his son. So it's a father's wisdom to his son. And it's amazing because as I look at what Solomon is doing for his son, I think it's what most fathers would want to do for their children as well. As fathers, I think we love imparting what wisdom we have to our children, or at least we try, right? Sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. But at the end of the day, it's neat to see the wisdom of the wisest man in the world leaving this for his son, and in turn, leaving it for us. So let's go ahead and read that together. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, God, and he, God, shall direct your paths." You know, this is probably not an unfamiliar verse to most of you. If you've been a Christian for a while, I'm sure you have heard that verse. But my prayer this morning is that maybe you're going to hear it differently for the very first time, and maybe God will bring you some fresh ideas and a new blessing as it pertains to this. I'm going to kind of break it down into four parts. And so first, let's look at the first part, which is the first part of verse five. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." See, Solomon was telling his son that God is worthy, son, of your trust. "Son, it's been my experience that you can trust God. And so, son, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You can rely and trust upon God." And I think when we trust in God, we acknowledge that he loves us. And that's part of why we don't mind trusting in him. But we also have to understand, and most of us do, that he has our best interest in mind. And having our best interest in mind, what he's doing is he wants to keep us from stumbling. He wants to keep us from some of the mistakes that we're prone to, some of the mistakes that'll hurt us, some of the mistakes that'll endanger us. God is looking to keep us from that stumbling. But you know, it's an interesting thing about trusting in the Lord. It is something that I think we have to acknowledge that it's at times difficult to do. You know, at times it's a struggle for us to do that. I think, you know, as Christians, we have put our trust in the Lord. You know, as Christians, we have said, you know what, Lord, I can't live this life by myself. I need you. And so we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But just because we do that, I don't believe that we can necessarily, I think we can trust in the Lord, but not necessarily trust him with all of our heart that Solomon was talking about. I think there's a reason why Solomon said, not only trust in the Lord, but do it with all your heart. You see, for me, I think it's easy at times for a challenge to come upon me. And when that challenge comes upon me, I have a tendency to say, "I got this. I got this, Lord." And what happens is I tend to get out in front of God. Instead of waiting on the Lord, I'll tend to get out in front of him. And honestly, it never ends well for me. It just doesn't. I mean, I think I got it, and right when I think I got it, I don't got it, right? And it just never ends well. And I really do believe, I think Solomon understood this. I think he understood that because I think that's why he writes to not only trust in the Lord, but also with all your heart. Trust in the Lord, but with all your heart. You know, I remember when my son Garrett was born. It was July 31st, 1993, and Elisa, bless her heart, was in labor for 37 hours. And when this little guy finally decided to come out of mommy, the doctor, I couldn't stop crying. I mean, I was crying so hard I couldn't see. And I thought, this was a really bad idea for men to be in these rooms when the women are having the kid, right? I mean, I thought, sure would have been easier back in the day to have a cigar in another room. But yet, here I was crying my eyes out as he's being born, right? And then I remember the doctor saying, "Hey, here's some scissors. Why don't you cut the umbilical cord, right? I'm thinking, you are a brave man. Because I seriously thought I was going to lop off the surgeon's finger, right? And so I cut the umbilical cord, and of course I thought my son was the most beautiful child ever born in the universe, right? But he was like every other child, right? Wrinkly and dirty, and, you know, he looked a little bit like Yoda. And but he's your son, right? So he's beautiful. And when they had handed him to Elisa, who was exhausted, they finally handed him to me. And I can remember, as I'm looking down at him, that the first thing I did is I took off that goofy little hat that they had given him, and I fitted him with his new Dodger hat, because I had this like little Dodger hat for him. And then I was looking at him going, oh my gosh, I could feel like panic setting in. It's hard to explain, but it was like, I thought to myself, we have manuals. When I buy a car, I get a manual about this thick. It tells us all about the car, right? I never read it, but at least I know I have it. If the car, something happens, I can go to this manual, right? I got a TV, it looked like a Nobel laureate wrote the directions. I mean, it's like this thick. And I'm like, okay. But here is this little human made in the image of God, and there are no instructions. And I'm looking at him going, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I remember thinking it, because I'm not stupid enough to say it to Elisa, who just went through a zillion hours of labor. But I was thinking, how do I take care of him? What do I do with him? And then the thought came to me, why on earth did we do that? How did we get here? Right? And it was utter panic. My heart was racing. It was pounding. If you had taken my blood pressure, it probably would have broke the machine, because I was literally freaking out. And I can remember in that moment, the Holy Spirit brought a scripture to my mind, to the forefront of my mind. In the middle of the freak out, I hear, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. It calmed me down for sure, because I realized that, you know what? I was the opposite of that. I love Jesus. I love God, right? But I was freaking out. And I realized that, you know what? I wasn't trusting in the Lord with all of my heart. Well, let's look at the second part of verse 5. It says, and lean not on your own understanding. Lean not, meaning don't rely on your own knowledge. And I think that's kind of tough, right? To not rely on your own knowledge. We have, in this area, in South Orange County, we have been, you run into people who are just fabulously educated, very smart, very savvy, great jobs. We have this really high standard of living. And we've all had lots of life experience. And so I think we have this high propensity to rely upon ourselves. And I know I do personally, because it's kind of that I got it mentality, right? And it reminded me this week, it's probably a little bit like what Adam and Eve felt like in the garden. You know what? God, you told me not to eat the whole apple thing, but I'm just going to do it anyhow, right? Because I got this, Lord. I can handle this, whatever comes my way. And I think we forget at times that our ways are not necessarily God's ways. And we get reminded of that often, that God does things a little differently than we do. And when we begin to get out in front of God, I think it sounds something a little bit like this. Because I'm good at telling myself this, right? It's like, you know what? God probably didn't consider all of the special issues that are surrounding this problem for me. Because, hey, let's face it, He's God. He's got the whole world to worry about. He's probably just not dealing with my little issue right now. I'll take care of this, Lord. I can do this. Let's just go ahead with Jerry's plan. And so that's what I do. And I've come to realize that every time I do that, it's just an issue of pride with myself, that I'm not willing to lay aside my knowledge, that I'm not willing to lay aside my life experience and yield to the Lord. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I understand that it's sin, but it's also self-reliance. You know, that whole idea of I got it, right? And so God's been working on with me, you know, for 56 years, and I'm sure when Elisa's shoveling dirt on the top of my head, God will still be working on it up to that point, right? And then I'll go into glory and it'll be different. But when you have that type of relying on your own understanding, what it begins to create in life is anxiety and stress. You know, anxiety and stress, because we begin to think up problems that could happen. They're not actually upon us. We're just thinking out there, oh, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. And so we stress and we worry over the fake problem that we've made up in our head. And we are really, really quick to rely on our own understanding. And it reminds me of my daughter, Lexi. Like I told you, I'm good at relying on my own understanding and my own knowledge. And I can remember, I think she was like 3 at the time, and we took her to SeaWorld with Garrett and Hayden. And as we're walking into SeaWorld, I've got her hand, and we're going down towards this exhibit that was from the Budweiser company, and it was Clydesdale horses were out there. Enormous Clydesdale horses. And I feel her let go of my hand, and she's running towards the horse going, "Look, Daddy, a cow, a cow." After I stopped laughing, I realized, you know, she's probably at the point in life where I need to turn off Sports Center at night and read to my daughter. You know, maybe read a farm book so she can tell the difference between a horse and a cow. So through the years, we would read, and she came to the point where she first started reading. And as I have her in my lap and she's reading, I asked her this question. I said, "Sweetie, what are you reading?" She goes, I'm reading the book. And I said, "Show me where you're reading." And so she pointed to the bottom of the page to the far right. And I said, "Now read what you're showing me." And so she started going like this. She was reading from the bottom to the top. Instead of from left to right, she was reading from right to left. She was dyslexic. And I'm discovering that going, wow. I mean, I had no idea, right? How would you know? Until she started reading. And you know, as a father, the only thing that was traveling through my mind was, oh my gosh, this is going to be a lifelong struggle. She's never going to get through high school. And so I began to build walls for her in my mind, and more walls. I was the farthest thing from trusting in the Lord. It was the farthest thing from not relying on my own understanding. And lo and behold, God steps in. And God says, "No, I got this. You know, in spite of whatever you're doing over here, I got this, right?" And so she graduated from high school, and she went on to graduate from Grand Canyon University with summa cum laude. I called her last week. She's working full-time. She's in her master's program. She graduates in a couple of months with a 4.0. And I realized, okay, thanks, Lord, there's another one, right? And at some point, you think you're going to catch on to this as a father, and that you're going to get in line here and trust in the Lord, right? And lean not on your own understanding. 2 years ago, my father called me, and he has a really special relationship with Hayden. Hayden's my youngest son. Since Hayden was a little guy, my dad would come, pick him up, take him for a donut, walk him on the beach, talk with him. My dad did that with all of our kids. Hayden really liked that because it was, you know, the third child. I don't even know if we have a baby book for him, right? So it's one of those things where he felt special. My dad, you know, loved doing it. And so they had this special relationship. My dad called me and he said, hey, will you take me back to Mississippi so we can watch a football game together and I can be with Hayden? I said, sure. Because again, my father had never asked me for one thing in my entire life. And so he asked me for this. I was not going to say no. But me being me, I thought, how is this going to end well? My dad's in his 80s. He's had hip surgeries, replacements. He doesn't walk very well. He can't really sit for any great length of time. This is going to be a nightmare because my dad has, I don't even know, the last time I think he was on an airplane, it had a propeller. And so I'm like, wow, okay. And so I'm concerned about this the whole time. So we get on the plane, we land in Phoenix, we switch planes, which was a long walk through Sky Harbor Airport. And our next destination is Memphis, Tennessee. Because getting to Starkville, Mississippi is as difficult as Elon Musk trying to get to Mars. You know, at the end of the day, there is no easy way to Starkville, Mississippi. So we fly into Memphis, Tennessee. It takes forever to get to the rental car because we're walking. And you know, the whole time, my dad never once complained. He never once looked like he was hurting. And we're walking, and we're walking, and we're walking. And finally, we get to the rental car. And I look at my watch. We had walked 7.5 miles through 2 airports, and he didn't complain. Not one time. He sat on a plane for hours. Not one complaint ever. And I began to understand that God had a different plan, right, than the problems that I had created in my mind with my understanding were different than what the Lord had in mind. And as my dad and I drove from Memphis, Tennessee to Starkville, Mississippi, it was a 3.5-hour drive. We had a great time. We were sharing stories about people that I hadn't heard from in a while that he had, and I had certain people that he hadn't heard. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time. And so we wind up in Mississippi, and we've got the Alabama football game, and they're playing Mississippi State. And so we go to that game, and Hayden goes, hey, Dad, can I stay with you at the hotel? And I'm like, sure, son. But I could tell he was kind of holding back on me. You know, something was up. And I said, what's going on? He goes, well, I've got this paper due on Monday. Okay, today is Saturday morning, right? How much have you done, son? Well, I haven't started it. I said, so why do you want to stay with me? Because I need your help on the paper. Okay. How long is the paper, son? It's 13 pages. Oh. What are we doing a paper on? The Trinity. And I thought, oh, that simple subject? And he goes, that's why I need your help, Dad. Now, how a communications major wound up with a paper on the Trinity, I have no idea. But at the end of the day, I was thinking, all I wanted to do was sit around with my father and my son watching college football all day long. I mean, I thought 9 hours of this would be awesome, right? I could relax, it would be great. And the Lord said, nah, I got another plan. Go to the Alabama game, but when you come back, you're going to be sequestered like a jury trial, right? And so as we sat there and we began to do research on the Trinity and click away on computers, I have to tell you, it was the most amazing time I've ever had with my son. Can you imagine when you have your son in the same room and all you're talking about is the Lord for hours upon hours upon hours, and you're unlocking the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And it was just yet another great example of Jerry leaning on his own understanding, getting out in front of God, creating problems that didn't exist, but I had created them in my own mind, and God coming in saying, you know what? I got this. It's good. And it was an amazing, amazing weekend. Well, let's look at the first part of verse 6. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, God. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And I look at that and I go, it seems kind of simple, right? It seems kind of elementary that we, of course, we would acknowledge God. But I think sometimes we can forget to do that. And I'm not sure why, but I think maybe it has to do with the fact that, you know, he's not necessarily in our face putting pressure on us. You know, he's a gentleman, right? And I think because of that, it can be a little bit more complicated and we forget to do that. But I think Solomon understood that because he understood that when we are trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, it really means that we're honoring and we're acknowledging God. But we're honoring him and we're acknowledging him. And here's the key, in all that we do. In all that we do, not just on Sunday mornings, but in all that we do. And in doing that, in acknowledging him, we're choosing to invite God into our everyday life. And as simple as that seems, I think sometimes we can forget to do that. And maybe inviting God into our everyday life looks something like when we get up in the morning, maybe the first thing we do is we just have a simple prayer. If you're like me, I get out of bed in pieces now. And so it's easy for me to have a prayer as I, you know, one leg and everything's cracking and it's like, okay, right? And maybe it's as simple as when I go and eat, I pray. I'm acknowledging God. I'm saying, thank you for providing for me. And maybe it's if you still have children, you're praying with them as they go off to school, before they go off to school. Not some big elaborate thing, but a simple prayer. You're praying with your children. Or maybe it's calling your grandchildren and praying with them before they go off to school. Or maybe it looks like you're on the way to an appointment that you're freaked out about and you just pray. And you ask God to be in the middle of that meeting that you're heading into. And I think it's like anything else. You know, as we begin to do this, we create habits. And that's a really good habit. And as we begin to do that, it becomes easier and easier. And it allows us to acknowledge God in all of our ways. Well, the final part of this is the second half of verse 6. It says, and he shall direct your paths. See, when we're trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, when we're leaning not on our own understanding, and in all of our ways when we're acknowledging him, he, God, shall direct our paths. I think it's a wonderful response for trusting in God, that he will direct our paths. He will show us the way to go. He will guide us. He will direct us in all that we do. You know, I think one of the most asked questions of me as a pastor, and I would imagine it's probably all pastors, is how can I know the will of God? How can I know the will of God? And it's a really good question. I think it's a question as Christians we should all be asking ourselves all the time. Am I doing God's will? How can I know the will of God? I think Solomon has given us a solid answer in regards to that. When we put our trust in the Lord and we decide to not trust in our own understanding, when we acknowledge and honor God in all that we do, when we do these things, God will direct our paths. When we do that, he will direct our paths. And here's the interesting thing. When God directs our paths, how do we know? Because you know what? In our life, we'll have peace and we'll have contentment. And a lot of times, you don't hear the word contentment a lot. But when we're trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, he does bring peace to us and he brings contentment. There is less anxiety, there is less stress, there is less pressure. There is less of all of that. So are you telling me that this is a secret formula that Solomon has given us? No. But it is the wisest man in the world imparting that wisdom from a father to a son, and I think it would be wise for us to look at that and say, I need to incorporate that into my life. Well, does that mean our lives are going to be perfect? Of course not. Nope. We live in a fallen world, and I say that, but I understand you know that already. You know, we live in a culture where evil is considered good, and good is considered evil, and it is an enormous problem. And at the end of the day, it should lead us right to the foot of the cross. As Christians, we should look at that and we should say, you know what? This world is messed up, but this world, this is not my home. I am simply passing through. It doesn't matter how long we live. If you live to 100, that's a long life. But it doesn't compare to eternity with Jesus. It just doesn't. And so as attached to this world as we can be, this is not our home. It's going downhill, and it's going downhill fast. But you know what? God has called us to a different mission. He has called us to trust in him with all of our hearts, to lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. And see, when he directs our paths, he's directing us to him. And it's a daily relationship. And I have to tell you, I couldn't even imagine trying to be a father in our culture today without Jesus. I couldn't imagine. I could barely do it with Jesus. And I struggled. But you know what? Jesus was with me the whole way. And, you know, if you're here this morning and you've never made that commitment to Jesus, I can see why there is zero opportunity for you to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That seems impossible if you don't know Jesus. And so if that's you this morning or you're watching online, know this, that God loves you and that he has a really amazing plan for you. He wants you to trust in him with all of your heart, but it can't happen until you come to the end of yourself. You have to come to the end of yourself and say that I need something greater than myself. I have to acknowledge that God exists and that I need forgiveness through his son, Jesus. And you know, scripture tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. And that begins, that is the first step in that relationship with Jesus. I know, pastors, we like to confuse how you come to know Jesus. Many pastors will say you need to do all these things. It doesn't say that in the Bible. The Bible says simply that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. And if that's you this morning, it would be my greatest hope for you that you would yield to the Lord this morning, that you would accept Christ into your life, and you would begin to start your life, however old you are, however many times you've been to church, or you haven't been to church, that it would start today, and that today would be the day where you trusted in the Lord with all of your heart. And if you're watching online, you can do the same thing. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you for our time this morning. And Lord, as we come before you now, we realize, Lord, that we are lacking. That there are people that are here this morning, Lord, who have never made a commitment to you. And so, Lord, we pray that you will encourage them, that you will bless them, and that you will guide and direct them, Lord, towards Jesus this morning. Well, your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed. If you're here this morning and you want to accept Jesus into your life for the very first time, or you're watching online and you want to accept Jesus, just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. and come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, forever, whoever prayed that prayer, Lord, we just pray that you would bless them this day, that you would be with them, Lord, that you would help them start that new life in you. And if you're here this morning and you've been following Jesus for a long time, but you've strayed and you've gone off the path, come back today. It's just a simple prayer. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Help me come back to you. Set my heart on fire again, the way it was when I first came to know you. Help me to do that, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that we have a heavenly Father that loves us, that cares for us, that wants to guide us and direct our paths. And we thank you, Lord, for our earthly fathers this day and that just the amazing job that they do. Thank you for this day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.